Chazor Shif from Maseches Brachos, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Beis, until Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph. The fourth and fifth Perek of Maseches Brachos discuss the laws of Tefillah in general, but particularly the Shemona Esrei, which is the main part of davening. And we began this week learning about Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, who when he entered the Beis HaMedrash, he would daven that he shouldn't make any mistakes when he learns, firstly so that people don't do the wrong thing based on a halacha which he says wrongly, and secondly so that people don't rejoice over his mistake. And like the Urchas Tzadikim explains, there's such a strong temptation to do that, even for great people who are in the Beis HaMedrash with Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. Now, when Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana left the Beis HaMedrash, he would thank Hashem for making him somebody who had the opportunity to daven and learn and be in the Beis HaMedrash, as opposed to living a wasted life. In Mishnah Gimel, we saw an important machlekes about what exactly one's obligation is when it comes to davening Shemona Esrei. According to Rabbi Gamliel, everybody has to daven the full Shemona Esrei every day. And whenever you're obligated to say Shemona Esrei, you have to do the whole thing. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, if you're very busy, and therefore you're going to find it very difficult to concentrate for the entire Shemona Esrei, you're able to say what is known as Havineinu, which is where you shorten all of the middle brachas, from Atachonein all the way till Shemakeleinu, and you make that into one bracha. And Rabbi Akiva said that if it's just because you're busy, then you have to say the whole Shemona Esrei. But if you're not even fluent with the words of Shemona Esrei, and that's the reason why you wouldn't be able to concentrate for the full thing, then you can say Havineinu, and in fact you should say Havineinu, because it's better to say less with proper kavana than to say more and not concentrate on it. Mishnah Daled, Rabbi Eliezer says that if somebody davens Shemona Esrei, or he just davens in general, because he has to, but not in a begging manner, not because he feels that he needs to daven and he needs to ask Hashem for things, then it's very possible that he does not even fulfill his obligation. Certainly, it's not seen as favorable. Rabbi Yeshua says that if somebody is in a dangerous place, and therefore he's not able to stop and daven Shemona Esrei, in order that he at least davens something in the right time, he should say a short tefillah where he asks Hashem to save the Jewish people, even when they're doing aveiros, their needs should be in front of you, Hashem, and he should end off, Baruch Atah Hashem Shmi'at Tefillah, blessed are you, Hashem, who listens to prayer. Mishnah Hey, when one davens, he has to face Yerushalayim. Or more specifically, he has to face the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the innermost part of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pesukim, when Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, speak about how from then everybody would begin facing there, one of the reasons being that all our tefillos anyway go via the Beis HaMikdash and then go up to heaven from there. Now what happens if somebody was riding on a donkey, or he was riding on an animal? So he should get down and then face the direction of Yerushalayim, of the Beis HaMikdash, and daven like that. But if he can't concentrate because he'll be so worried about his donkey running away or someone taking it, then he should remain on his donkey and just turn his face, at least, towards the Beis HaMikdash. But if he can't even do that because he has to face the front, he has to make sure he's going in the right direction, then he should at least imagine in his mind that he is standing right in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in fact, we said anybody who doesn't know what direction the Beis HaMikdash is, for example, if he's on a ship, on a raft, or on a wagon, he should also just imagine that he's in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in those scenarios where he is on a ship or wagon or raft, because it's very difficult to balance oneself, he should sit down so that he can concentrate on Shemona Esrei, as opposed to concentrating on maintaining his balance. Mishnah Zayin, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, one only has to say Musaf if he's in a minyan with the congregation, because since the whole of Musaf is just a commemoration of the Korban Musaf, well, the Korban Musaf was brought as a congregation. And therefore, if you're an individual, not part of a minyan, then you do not need to say Musaf. However, according to the Chachamim, everybody does, because the Korban was bought on behalf of everybody. So everybody needs to commemorate the Korban. And thirdly, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, a slightly different version, and that was that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agrees that an individual is obligated to daven Musaf. However, he holds that just like the Korban was bought by one person on behalf of the rest of the Jewish people, so too, as long as you've got a congregation in your town, which is davening Musaf, you fulfill your obligation via their prayer. Mishnah Aleph of the 5th Perek told us that one has to approach davening out of awe, out of trepidation of Hashem. We cited the example of the Chassidim HaRishonim, the early, very pious people who would wait for an hour contemplating about Hashem before they even started davening, in order that they were in the right frame of mind and had the right amount of awe that they'd be able to concentrate properly throughout Shemona Esrei. Even though when it comes to Shema, one is permitted to make certain interruptions, when it comes to Shemona Esrei, since here you're literally talking to Hashem, you've got the ultimate closeness, you can't even answer a king's greeting, you can't even deal with a snake which is wrapping around you. As long as these situations are not life-threatening, one may not interrupt at all during Shemona Esrei. Mishnah Beis, we had three additions to Shemona Esrei, which we discussed in this Mishnah. Number one is Mashiv HaRuach, when we mention and praise Hashem for the rain and the wind. And we do that in the bracha of Atah Gibor, which is about the bringing to life of the dead people, because rain brings life to plants, to vegetation. The second edition which we had was the Saint Talumotar, where we ask Hashem for rain, not just praise Him for rain, but we ask Hashem for rain, and that is said in the bracha where we ask Hashem for sustenance and a livelihood, because rain, certainly in those days, was very necessary for that. For all of agriculture, rain was very necessary, and therefore that's when we ask for rain. And the third edition which we mentioned was Havdalah, which we add on Motzei Shabbos. According to the Tanna Kamma, Havdalah is said as part of the bracha of Atah Choneinu, where we ask Hashem for wisdom. The first reason for this is because this is the first bracha which is unique to weekdays. So that's where we see really the Havdalah, the separation between Shabbos and a weekday. The second reason is also because one requires wisdom in order to discern these differences. And therefore we mention it in the bracha of wisdom. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it hasn't got so much to do with that fourth bracha. And therefore one should say it as its own bracha in itself just before the bracha of wisdom. And Rabbi Eliezer, we had a third opinion, Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that we say it in the bracha of Moedim, where we thank Hashem, because the main purpose of Havdalah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is to thank Hashem for the ability which He gave us to discern the differences between Shabbos and a weekday, day and night, and therefore it is fitting to say it in the bracha where we thank Hashem for everything. Mishnah Gimel, if somebody says one of three things, then we silence them. Number one, if he says that Hashem should be praised for His mercy on the mother bird, which He commands us to shoo away before taking its children, and the reason why we silence him is because we keep mitzvahs not because of the mercy, but because Hashem told us to. Secondly, if somebody praises Hashem for the good, that implies that Hashem shouldn't be praised for the bad. But really, we're supposed to praise Hashem for everything. And thirdly, if somebody says Moedim, or part of Moedim twice, we also silence him because it seems like he's attributing powers and thanking two different sources as opposed to the one Hashem. Now, usually the halacha is that if one is offered to lead the tefillah, to be the chazan, he should initially refuse, to show his humility, to show that he realizes how significant it is to be a chazan, you're being the messenger of the congregation, of Klal Yisrael. However, there's an exception, because if the original chazan who is davening makes a mistake and gets confused in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, then somebody should replace him immediately. No refusing, you should replace him immediately so that you can continue Shemona Esrei as soon as possible, and the person who replaces him begins from the beginning of the bracha which the original chazan got confused on. Mishnah Dalet, bearing in mind that they didn't have Sidurim in those days, it was quite easy for them to get confused during a davening. And therefore the chazan who reads each word of Brikas Karnim before the Karnim say it, so he says Yivarechecha, then they say Yivarechecha, so he shouldn't answer Amen after each of the three brachas, so that he's able to continue straight into the next bracha without getting confused, without interruption. Furthermore, if he's the only Kohen in the minyan, he still should not do Brikas Karnim unless he's confident that he can do it without getting confused. Then we allow him to do it so as not to get rid of this mitzvah. But if he is not confident, then he shouldn't do it so that he does not get confused. Mishnah Hey, when he makes a mistake in the davening, particularly in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, that's a bad sign for him. It means he should think about his past actions, he should do tshuva, and this is a sign from Hashem telling him that there's sort of something wrong that he needs to fix. Now, if it's the chazan who makes a mistake while he's repeating the Shemona Esrei, then it's a bad sign for the whole congregation, the whole minyan. Because we have a rule which is, Shaluchoi shel Adam kamoisai. Somebody's messenger is like himself. So since the chazan is called the Shliach Tzibur, he's called the messenger of the congregation, he's sort of the messenger who's praying to Hashem for the entire congregation. So if he makes a mistake, the mistake is considered to have been made by the people who sent him as well, i.e. the congregation. And therefore it's a bad sign for them. And this perek ended off by citing the story of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. And we said that when he would daven for an ill person, when he came out of that prayer, he knew whether that person would die or live. And this is because he was on the level that he knew that if he was fluent and concentrating properly while he was davening for the ill person, then the tefillah was accepted. But if he wasn't, then it was sort of a bad sign. He knew that the tefillah was not accepted and that the ill person would not be cured. The sixth perek began our discussion, which will take us throughout the next three perakim, about Birkos Hane'anin, brachos which one makes on benefiting from things in this world. And most of these three perakim discuss benefits from food, and we began by discussing and listing which brachos we make on what. So firstly, fruit which come from a tree, one makes Bo Priyot 8, except for wine, because wine is very significant, it also brings people much more pleasure than most foods or drink, it has its unique bracha, Bo Priyot Gefen, where we praise Hashem for creating the fruit of the vine. Now on produce which grew from the ground, and this includes a lot of things, grain, beans, vegetables, on all these things one makes a Bo Priyot Adama. where we praise Hashem for creating the fruit or the produce of the ground. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the bracha has to be much more specific. So on vegetables where you eat the plant itself, certain grass-like plants and vegetables, when you eat that, you should say Buri Mine Deshoim, you should praise Hashem for creating the Deshoim, which is the word for those type of plants, those type of vegetables. And if you eat grain, like wheat, where the seeds are eaten, then you should say Buri Mine Zeraim. You should praise Hashem for creating different types of seeds. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you've got to be more specific when it comes to brachas. Fine, then we put an exception again, which is bread. Even though bread ultimately comes from the ground, it is once again more significant than most foods. It could be really the main part of one's diet. And therefore it has its own unique bracha, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, where we praise Hashem for bringing bread from the ground. Mishnah Beis, what happens if somebody says a Bar Pri Hadoma on something which grew from a tree? Since a tree ultimately comes from the ground, it's okay, he fulfills his obligation, b'di'eved, which means once he's done it, it's okay. However, if it's the other way around, where he makes a Bar Pri or Eitz on something which does not grow from a tree, it goes on the ground directly, then he does not fulfill his obligation. Similarly, if somebody says, Sha'kol Nya B'dvoroi, the bracha where we praise Hashem, that everything was created by his word. If you said that bracha on any food, then b'di'eved, once you've done it, you do fulfill your obligation, because it's an all-encompassing bracha. The bracha says that Hashem created everything, and therefore it would work for everything. Perhaps not ideally, but b'di'eved, once you've done it, you would have fulfilled your obligation. And the basic rule over here is that a more encompassing bracha covers the things which are more specific as long as they're part of that general bracha. So a Bar Pri Hadoma would cover even things from a tree, and a Shehakol Nya B'dvoroi would cover any food or drink. Mishnah Gimel told us the things which the bracha actually is Shehakol. L'chatchila, meaning ideally one should say Shehakol. And there's basically two categories of things which should be Shehakol. Number one is anything which doesn't grow from the ground. So that includes milk, cheese, eggs. And the second category are things which are worse quality than they once were, or that they will be in the future, or they could have been. So for example, wine vinegar used to be wine, now it's vinegar. Or unripe fruit, which fell off the tree before they became ripe and better quality. That's also shakal. And according to Yehuda, one does not make a bracha at all on something which is either destructive or destructed. Meaning locusts, for example, they're destructive creatures, and therefore one does not make a bracha on them. Unripe fruit, also they can make someone ill. And vinegar is wine which is spoiled. So one should avoid making brachas on these. And we explained that Rabbi Yehuda would require you, at least according to most Mefarshim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, one does need to make a bracha, but on something else. So for example, you should make a Sha'akol Nya B'dvoroi on a drink, for example, and then that would cover these things as well, and then he'd be able to eat these things. Mishnah Daled followed on very nicely, and we discussed what the order of brachas is, and again, that's based on the significance of the thing in front of you. We want to make a bracha on the best thing. The question is, what is the best thing? According to Yehuda, it's one of the Shiva Saminim, the seven foods which the land of Eretz Yisrael is praised for. If one is going to eat one of those, then he should make a bracha on one of those. But according to the Chachomim, the best food is based on your personal preference. Whatever your favorite food in front of you is, that's the one you should make the bracha on, and then that will cover you for the rest of the brachas. Mishnah Hey, on an occasion in which it was customary to drink wine at the end of the meal, as well as before the meal, then if you make a bracha on the wine before the meal begins, you do not need to make a bracha on the wine which you have at the end of the meal. Because we presume that you had the intention when you made the original bracha to cover the later wine because you knew you would be having wine later on as well. There's a concept known as Ikar V'Tofel. That is, that if somebody has a primary food and a secondary food, then he only makes a bracha on the primary food, the Ikar, and that covers the Tofel, the secondary food. And that is why when you make a bracha on bread, you then don't need to make any other brachas during that meal. At least not on food that you're having to satisfy your hunger. If you have food as dessert, for example, just for the taste, then you would make a bracha. But if it's to satisfy your hunger, it has the same function as bread, and therefore the bread is the primary, and it covers all other foods. Now, if somebody said a bracha on parperes, which is food which is eaten with bread, such as meat, fish, eggs, and it's eaten in order to fill you up, sometimes, although sometimes if it's eaten at the end of a meal, then it can just be eaten for the taste. So if somebody makes a bracha on parperes at the beginning of the meal, or even before the meal begins, before you even start having bread, that still covers the parperes which you have at the end of the meal, because once again, we presume that you had the intention for it to cover the later parperes as well. Now, even if you have the intention when you make a bracha on parperes, that it should cover the bread, let's say, you can't do that because the bread is primary. And according to Beis Shammai, parperes can't really cover any other food, not even porridge. Mishnah Vav, there's a rule which is Shomea Ka'ine, that by hearing a bracha from somebody else, if he intends that you should fulfill your obligation with his bracha, and you intend that as well, then you can do so, you can fulfill your obligation of the bracha without you actually saying it. But in order to use this mechanism for Birkeis Ne'anin, brachas made on benefiting from something, you have to be considered in a group with that person. You have to have a kavius, a sense of permanence, showing clearly that you're part of a group. And therefore, if you're just sitting down at a table to eat together, you're not considered properly sitting down as a fixed meal, because they would usually lean. Only if you lean down, then you're shown that it's a proper meal, and there's a kvius, and only then can you use Shemeh Ka'oneh to fulfill your obligation of the bracha. Now, even if they are sitting as a group, if wine is brought to them during the meal, it's better that each person makes a bracha themselves, because since it's during the meal, people won't really be concentrating properly on the bracha being made, unless they make it themselves. Then we said that the person who makes the bracha on wine on behalf of everybody, at the end of the meal, which you would do, because people are no longer preoccupied, he's the one who says the bracha on the mugmar, which are the spices which are brought out after benching. He makes the one bracha on the spices, and that covers everybody via the mechanism of Shemeya Ka'oneh. Mishnah Zion brought an unusual case where the bread was actually the tofel. If you have a very salty food, and you just have bread in order to counteract the salty effect, you only make a bracha on the other thing, the salty thing, and that covers the bread, because in this case, the bread is tofel. We had a 3-year machlekes in Mishnah Ches about when one needs to bench. When he has to say Birkas HaMazon, and each Tana learnt it out of Pesukim, according to Rabban Gamliel, one says Birkas HaMazon after eating any of the Shavas HaMinim, because they're listed two Pesukim before the commandment to bench. But according to the Chachomim, on Shavas HaMinim you just make an Ala Michya, and that's Midrabanan. Only on bread, which is said in the Pesuk before the commandment to say Birkas HaMazon, only on that would you say Birkas HaMazon. And according to Rabbi Akiva, the commandment of Birkas HaMazon itself teaches you that any food which you have as a meal, even a cooked vegetable or something which fills you up, even on that you would say Birkas HaMazon mid Araisa. Finally, we had a machlekes about one who drinks water, what bracha he makes. According to the Tanakama, you make Sha'akonya b'dvaray, that everything was created by his word. But according to Rabbi Tarfon, water is more significant than most drinks or food, because it's a necessity to life. And therefore it has its special bracha of Bnei Nefoshes Rabbeis, where we thank Hashem for the necessities which we have. And either way, one only makes a bracha on water if he drinks it for thirst, not if he's drinking it for another reason, like to get rid of something in his throat. We began Perek Zayin, which discusses the halachos of Zimun, which is when one person leads the benching. At least originally he actually led the benching. Later on they changed it to just inviting the other people to bench, and then each individual would bench themselves. And as long as there's a minimum of 3 people, there's an obligation to do a Zimun when you bench. We then went through a number of foods and said the basic rule that if you eat a food which you're allowed to eat, then you can be part of the Zimun. And according to our Mishnah, if a Kusi, who was part of the nation who had a sort of doubtful conversion, according to our Mishnah, he was considered a Jew, and therefore one can make a Zimun with him. And a waiter, even if he doesn't eat properly with them and he's just walking around and eating, since that's his normal way of eating, he can be part of the Zimun. And we went through different Trumas and Masrus, the different gifts you give to the Kohanim, the Levim. We're not going to review the definitions of those right now, although after going through a few Mishnayos in the next couple of Masechtas, you'll get the hang of all of these concepts, all of these different gifts, because they are really the focus of the entire Seder Zeroim.